Again, when you say the rosary today, take a decade at least and ask the Mother of God to look on this reality, this event, with her eyes, her perception, her understanding, her ability to penetrate the surface and see what really is going on there. Because it's still going on. Jesus is alive. And this event, which passed through his humanity, is there. And it's still going on. Obviously, both texts have to do with faith today, don't they? Habakkuk's text. This is the first part of Habakkuk. This is where help, where a little bit of historical knowledge helps a lot. Huh? Even if you open up your New American Bible or one of the Bibles, and they'll tell you, who is Habakkuk? When did he live? What's he talking about here? It's very, very helpful. He's talking about the inevitable invasion from the north by the Babylonians. It's coming. It's coming. He sees it coming. Now, prophets see what everybody else sees sometimes, but they know what it means. The certitude is what characterizes prophecy. Not always the information. Anybody picking up the Jerusalem Post of the day could see what's going to happen. Probably. But what exactly? And with certitude, that's the gift of prophecy. So he's praying. He's saying, look at this fellow, this Nebuchadnezzar. You know, he does what he wants. He conquers, he pulls the ball into his net. He does what he wants. How long? Lord? You see his... He says, I will take my stand at the guard post and station myself to see what he's going to say to me. He expects an answer. The Lord answered me and said, write down the vision clearly on the tablet so that one can read it readily. For the vision still has its time. And it goes on. If it delays, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not be late. The rash man has no integrity. He figures this all out, and he just bolts out and does what he wants. I'm going to take my whole family and take the boat to Cyprus and get out of this, or whatever. The rash man. His own resources. But the just man, because of his faith, shall live. Now, you know how important this text, this line in Habakkuk becomes to Paul, right? The just man shall live by faith is usually the way it's translated. Because Paul is using it. And this is one of his texts along with Genesis 15 in his teaching on faith, right? Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as justice. Now we have in Matthew this story of this poor boy. It's called here a lunatic. Well, that's literally the word, and you see, it means touched by the moon. Luna is moon, and tangere and so forth. Lunatic means somebody affected by the moon. And that's exactly what the Greek word is. By the symptoms, it looks like epilepsy. But it's not. It's a demon. And so, oh, can you help me? And listen to Jesus' answer. Oh, faithless and perverse generation. How long will I have to be with you? What could he possibly be saying? And why would he say it? See, what is faith? It's a divine power by which we let in reality as it really is. That's faith. We allow the reality as it really is to come in and dwell in us and be the source of our power and our life. Because the reality fundamentally is God. So even the Hebrew word means to be able to rely on God, to be faithful, true, stable, all those notions. And so this just man, he lives by faith, you see. And here, and this is where you see the abundance of the tradition, this inspired tradition, this word of God that brings us this event right into our life today. Because it's still Christ proclaiming his gospel, right? If you look at Mark, the story is much longer, much more dramatic. Mark has fewer things, but what he has, he expands much more often than Matthew. So the boy falls into the water, he goes in here, and then he's dead, they say. The crowd. When the disciples asked Jesus, how come we couldn't do this? The answer in Mark's account is, this kind only comes out through prayer. Now the tradition added prayer and fasting. Why? Because there's no prayer without fasting. It's like somebody said about the New Age, mystical experience in the jacuzzi. You know, it's get comfy and you'll, no, it's not the way. This kind only comes out through prayer and fasting. Matthew returns to a theme which is powerful in him. Oligopistia, little faith. He calls the disciples often, oligopisti, little faith. Well, all right then, what is faith? Huh? I brought down, but I can't find it now, my little New Testament. I hope I find it after. Anyway, think of this text in Ephesians, huh? Where he says that you be strengthened into the inner man by the Spirit, so that Christ lives in your heart by faith. Faith is Christ dwelling in our heart. Faith is the power to let Christ dwell in our heart. That's why you see you can't have your own personal individual faith. I'm saved by faith. I'm saved by faith. I don't know about the rest of you, but I'm saved by faith. That's impossible, because Christ dwells in you by faith, and he dwells in the church. And when you believe, you are automatically part of his body, the church. You don't have your own faith, like my little private property. Do you understand what we've lost? And so it's the power of Christ in the church, in us. So what's the obstacle? We don't like reality. So we duck it all the time. We don't let the reality, the beauty, the power, the love, the compassion, the correction of Christ come into our lives. Our Lord says here, if you had enough faith, you know, your mustard seed, you know, if you had that much faith, you could tell that mountain, would you move from here to there? Zip. Now that's our Lord, you know, it can happen, but our Lord's preaching, trying to teach us. Yes. In other words, he gets tired of the way we're so attached to ourselves that we won't let him bring reality, his will, into our lives. He gets tired of it. Perverse generation, faithless generation. How long am I going to put up with you? Until the world ends. But you can hear, oh, look, you, my friends, I talk to you every day. I give you my body and blood every day. There are bombs and rockets falling and killing people. And this could explode. You ever think of this? There's only 14 million Jews in the whole world. Think of it. Look at all the trouble it can cause. Because they are God's people and His hand is on them. And the whole world could explode tomorrow because of these absolute... How many are actually demonically possessed? I don't know. But the one thing they have that is important for us to notice for ourselves, they are not afraid to die. And so 25 of them cook up this plan up there in Heathrow. And the whole world has to change the way it travels by plane. Suppose we had 25 Christians not afraid to die. Just think of it. We're even close. Now, that's not a guilt trip. That's an invitation. The Lord will win us over by love. And faith, you see, is letting Christ dwell in us, take over our life. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. The rhythm is this. Mary, the Mother of God, works in our heart and disposes it to be docile to the action of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit forms our heart to be like that of Christ. And then we're in love with the Father. And all we want is the Father's will. That's more important than anything else. Certainly more than comfort and reputation and security and blah, blah, blah. But that's a work of God in us. It's an invitation to a kind of a freedom and a peace. And we all know it when we meet it. You walk down the street and you see a Mother Teresa, you say, man, I wish my heart was like that. I wish I had that kind of peace and courage and clarity. And Jesus is saying, look, I'll give it to you. I'll give it to you. Just come. Just let me take over your life. And then you'll have faith like a mustard seed. At least I'll dwell in you like that.